The Roman road is select passages from Romans that are able to lead a person to Christ. Now, I'm aware that most of you already know Christ as Savior. Some of you are going to hear this maybe and realize that you need Christ as Savior. Others of you, I pray that this is sort of like a training today. So that maybe, even if you don't normally take notes, maybe you would take some notes today, write down some scripture, so that should God put the right person in your path, that you would be able to lead them to Christ. There's no feeling like it in the world. There really, and I'm aware, believe me, I was just sitting where you were for many years, part-time church attender, and never led anybody to Christ because I couldn't lead them to Christ because I didn't have Christ. But then somewhere along the way, that changed, and even after you become a Christian, it was still, for me, I sort of led my kids to Christ because I took them to the revival that they got saved at. Diane and I did. But there's just nothing like praying with someone. And it's just like anything else. You can't describe it. So this morning, we're going to start with Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've heard sin translated miss the mark. Miss the mark. That's almost like a literal translation of what sin means in the original language. I mean, we now think that it means bad stuff other people do. But what it really means is to miss the mark. There was a mark that was set for you and me to hit. If we fly, if you think of a target, a bullseye, you ever seen a bullseye? And if you draw back an arrow and you let it go, draw back a bow and let the arrow fly, and it goes right for the mark and then, boom, hits right in the middle, that's hitting the mark. The Bible says that nobody on earth does that. That you are the arrow that's flung, but because of Satan and sin entering the world, you are that arrow that's flying and you're going to miss the mark. One sin you know, if you get 0.0001 degree off of your path, if it goes 100 yards, any scientists here, any people who like physics, or it's indistinguishable in the beginning that you're even off. But then once you get a mile down the road, or 2 miles down the road, or 10 miles down the road, or 10 years down the road, you're way off mark. And that's what happens to us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I remember when Diane and I first went to, took the boys to Disney. It was 2001. We had planned on going in November of 2001. Now, something happened in September of 2001. You know what happened? 9/11. The Twin Towers. And so we go to Florida in November of 2001. I don't know if you remember. I mean, I know the kids don't. I know this young man wouldn't. But most of you remember, even if I help you recall it now, in the months that followed, like, nobody flew anywhere. The airlines were devastated. And so my dad, I remember my dad saying, "You guys are crazy for going to Florida. It'd been 2 months since 9/11, and the country was on edge." And I remember when we got down there, we saw people. We went to the Kennedy Space Center. Talk about security. Guys with machine guns on guard. It was like that was the first time that I ever remember thinking that is so crazy to see this in the United States. But I was thinking, they're not looking at me suspiciously. Do you know why? Because I'm white. I didn't have a turban on my head. I mean, I think that's the name for them, right? I'm not being degrading. I didn't look like the usual suspect. And I'm sure that a young wife and two young kids, we didn't draw much attention at the Kennedy Space Center. But sometimes we find it too easy to categorize people. We often look at people in classes or by skin color. I love to joke and say, "All those Baptists." And that's just a joke whenever I say it. "All those Baptists." I remember going to the 2002 Continental Tire Bowl. And it was West Virginia and Virginia playing in football. And at halftime, the University of Virginia did this skit. And do you remember it? You remember it? They did this skit making fun of West Virginians. It was like the newlywed game, I think is how I remember it. And there was two cousins who had just got married and they were from West Virginia. This is Virginia making fun of us. We were once the same state. I remember sitting there thinking, those people think they're better than me. We had enough sense to leave you all. You see, in 1863, we were part of Virginia. In 1863, we left. In the first step on the Roman road, theologian Karl Barth says that Paul is reminding us that every distinction, every remarkable separation, every difference in each one of us, it's all overshadowed by the one thing that we all have in common. Isn't that good? Whatever difference there is in us, young and old, and I'm trying not to look at people, black or white, Middle Eastern, education. Some of you have master's degrees and doctorates and law degrees. Some of you are for Kaiser. One of you. Okay, two of you. Okay, let's not start I shouldn't have. Most of us are for Frankfurt. You know, isn't it funny? If I had been sent to Kaiser, I wouldn't like Frankfurt. Really? Whatever differences there are in us, Paul is reminding us that there is one more powerful thing that we all hold in common. And I heard some of you say it. It's all overshadowed by sin. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. So that I have here, no matter where we were born, no matter what color our skin is, no matter what our sexual preference, no matter what difference separates us, we are united in one area. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. What unites us is stronger than what divides us. Have you ever heard that? What unites us is stronger than what divides us. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this about sin, and I think I quoted this Wednesday at Wednesday night church. It's one of my favorite things that I've ever read. But he said, if you look at anyone else's sin as worse than your own, you don't understand the depth of your sin. If you look at anyone else's sin as worse than your own, you don't know what a scoundrel you are. Bonhoeffer says that when we look at bad people and think we're actually pretty good people, that's a stumbling block to salvation. I almost hesitate to tell you this, but I never don't tell you anything. And every time I say that, Diane cringes. But we have Netflix. That's not what I was afraid to tell you. And I started watching this show called Breaking Bad. And you don't have to raise your hand if you've ever seen it or not. I don't know what it ever aired on. Maybe AMC. But it's about this guy who's a teacher. And he finds out he has lung cancer, and he's a teacher. He's made $43,000 a year for however many years, and he and his family struggle to get by. His son has cerebral palsy. He's 15 years old, and he's put in a situation that he can do something illegal and make a lot of money. And he's got lung cancer, and he's going to have medical bills that he can't pay. And the best doctors aren't in his insurance plan or in his coverage. You know what I'm saying. His insurance doesn't cover the best doctors, the doctor that they want. And there's a part in this show, I'm partway through the series, but there's a part in this show where this one young guy is going to drug counseling. He's in a 12-step group. And the leader of the 12-step group says, it's just important for you to admit who you are. It doesn't even require you in the beginning to change who you are. You just have to admit who you are. And so he goes and shares this with the teacher who he was a partner in this illegal activity with. He goes and shares this with the teacher. And the teacher goes to the person who he's doing the illegal activity for. They're making meth, I'll just tell you. And he says, I can't do this anymore because I'm not a bad person. I'm not the bad guy. It just requires you to admit who you are, doesn't it? It's what God requires of you is to admit who you are. Now, if you're in Christ now, you're happy to say I'm a sinner, but you don't say I'm a sinner. You say I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's a lot easier to say I'm a sinner saved by grace than just say I'm a sinner, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. You earn something from your missing the mark. You earn something from your sin. And Romans 6:23. See, you can just write down these scriptures. And this is the path to salvation. So you can just share these five scriptures with people. Number one was Romans 3:23. Number two is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have all earned something. You go to college and you earn a degree. you find out it doesn't necessarily get you a job. Here's what's guaranteed in this passage. The wages of one sin is death. The wages of one sin is death. Just one. One time we steal. One time we cheat. One time we lie. David had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. And then when he's confessing to God, he says, God, against you and you alone have I sinned. Now I would say, I think he sinned against Uriah, whom he had killed, right? But Jesus says to Saul, the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, when he blinds Paul, Paul's a persecutor of Christians, and what does Jesus say to him? Why are you persecuting me? Jesus takes it personal when you're persecuted, but he also takes it personal when you sin against a brother, a sister, or even when you just think that you've committed an innocent sin. There are no innocent sins. I know, I've got to get going here. The consequences of sin is death. The good news is we don't have to wonder. You know, I'm a good person crowd. The difficulty in that is, how do you know if you're a good enough person? In that, they never ask themselves that. I never asked myself that when I was in the good person crowd. The good news about this is you don't have to wonder. You know what you've earned. You've earned death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:8. The third step on the Roman road. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So many times, I remember Diane and I, and we had been married for a couple years. We got married in 1986, and we didn't have our first child until 1990. So we didn't have our first child for a few years. And I remember saying to her mom and dad, especially her mom, we just can't afford to have kids right now. You ever say that? You ever hear that? You ever say to someone, you can never afford it. You can never afford it. Amen? We have this misconception that the world has this misconception that they have to get their act together before they can come to Christ. I can't come to the... It's the old person who asks someone I know, if I have alcohol in my breath, can I come to the church on a Sunday morning? I gave up drugs. I haven't been able to give up drink. Would your church welcome me if I have alcohol in my breath on a Sunday morning? And people sometimes gasp, and there'd be people in the church, in any church, who would say, if they can't at least quit drinking before they come in the door, right? Then we don't get ourselves straight before we come to Christ. He died for us while we were yet sinners. I talked Wednesday about this story from 2 Kings chapter 5, a guy named Naaman, who was a general or something, a leader in the Syrian army. And he had to do something pretty simple to cure himself of leprosy. One of the prophets of God said to Naaman, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And he's going, oh, that's too ridiculous. That's too easy. He had to be talked into doing it because he didn't think that that was enough to make him clean. If God had placed a certain star in the sky and said, "You ever hear twinkle, twinkle, little star?" Is that the same as make a wish upon a star? No, that's different, isn't it? Okay, so make a wish upon a star, you know that, right? What's that from? Who's the little grasshopper? Jiminy Cricket. Isn't that it? When you wish upon a star. Of course, that's the Disney theme song too, right? Makes no difference who you are. Right? If God had placed a certain star in the sky and said, "Wish upon that star and you will be saved," we would have thought, man, he must not hate sin very much if all he has us do is wish upon a star. Do you know how much he hated sin? Sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross. That's how much he hated sin. It's how much he hates your sin. Christ to the cross. But God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was a big deal. He hates sin. Step 4, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The church today has said what's required is that you say this prayer. Forgive me, Lord, for I'm a sinner. Accept my apologies to you. Cover me by the shed blood of Jesus. And then preachers pronounce people saved. I don't pronounce anyone saved. God pronounces you saved. And it's not through a prayer, but it's through a change of your heart. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I learned in my speech class that it's okay for pauses. Gives you time to reflect. The thing about this gift of God is it must be received. It must be accepted. My heart is for people who are going to hell. I want people who are already accepting Christ. I want to offer you opportunities for growth and to grow closer to Him. I want to continue to grow closer to Him. I want to offer you opportunities to grow closer to Him. I want to encourage you to grow closer to Him. But I don't feel like I'm here to meet the needs of Christians. And I don't mean here in this church. I mean on earth. I think God left me here and gave me a burden for the lost so that I can stand at the gates of hell and catch people as they're on their way in there and grab them aside and say, "Listen, there is a way. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Christ died for us and the wages of sin is death. But Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us." And you don't have to go into those gates. I posted last night on Facebook a picture of this path that runs through our yard that somebody drives through every once in a while. And that's the way I go to get the mail sometimes. And I said, we're all on a path. You're on a path, I'm on a path, and the question is, what path are you on? Every time someone, you know, Steve Baker just died. I know some of you don't know Steve Baker, many of you do. Every time someone dies that I know, that I'm somehow connected with, you know what I always wonder about? What conversations should I have had with that person? I always do. Carolyn's shaking her head, yes. I mean, I should have just sat down with him and said, and I'm not saying that he needed this conversation, but how do we know if we don't ask? And every time I think, okay, that's going to change how I, I'm going to change how I hold every conversation. This person's death is going to change how. And then what happens? Just like after 9/11, we all just get back into our comfort, back into our routine. And so I'm just reminded once again the importance of having this conversation with people. And most of you don't need this conversation for yourselves, but you need to hear it to be encouraged to go out and tell. How many people can we reach versus how many people can I reach? I put a quote from Billy Sunday online this morning, and it said, we need to quit worrying about religion and we need to start worrying about winning the world for Christ. We place an emphasis on what goes on in the church or if we get our way in the church, and that's Satan's distraction as the world goes to hell. I post all the time now. There's an army rising up. I did again this morning. There is an army rising up. And it doesn't have to be a big army. In the beginning, it was 12. If you heard a salvation message today and you need salvation, I want to pray for you. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're already saved, I want to pray for you. Let's bow. God, I know that you have placed different burdens on each of our hearts. You have given some people a burden for nursing homes, that they should be going to nursing homes and visiting on a regular basis because they love it. And when they're there, their job is to talk about Christ. You have given some people the burdens to go in prisons and talk to people. And when they're there, their primary objective is to offer Christ. You have given some people a burden for the homeless. You've given some people a burden for the wealthy who don't think they need Christ. Lord, you have put different desires in each of our hearts, and together it's possible that we can bring the world to Christ. Because together we've got every base covered. And so I pray for the people here that are your followers, that maybe just one person today would talk to somebody about the path they're on and about salvation that's offered through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Maybe that person would just be me, Lord. And for anyone here this morning who heard that the wages of sin is death, and that we've all sinned, and they have just come to the understanding that they have never asked you for forgiveness and never asked to follow you, I pray that you would hear their prayer today. That prayer that I just sort of ridiculed a little bit ago, that that doesn't really do the job, that it's a heart thing. But if you're calling hearts today, Lord, pray that you would have a conversation with them, tell them that you are faithful and just to forgive them of their sin if they but ask and accept the gift. And if they have, Lord, I pray that you would help them tell someone. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, God, raise up an army. That's what I pray. In Christ's name, amen.